Also pray for me teaching Sunday school here again this morning, filling in for Brother Bob. So we've been on this series on love lessons. I call them love lessons. And this one here is titled Prepare Your Ground. And last time I was talking on passion and just making sure that we put that passion in our love, not just be coming to church and serving the Lord just to be doing it, but really be passionate about what we do. And in our marriage as well, all of our love relationships, you can put the passion in there because it really makes it more meaningful if you're passionate about everything you do and really put your heart into it. But on this lesson, we're going to talk about preparing your ground. I kind of keep going back to the foundation of our Christian journey, going back to the start, back to the beginning, laying that good foundation of faith and love, falling in love with the Lord. And that makes a big difference on how you grow and mature as a Christian. So that's why I keep seeming to pull back towards that for some reason. I just can't seem to get off that. I want to really make sure we're laying a good foundation and not neglecting that first love that we have for the Lord, and preparing our ground to receive from Him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer about this lesson this morning. Heavenly Father, pray you bless this lesson and let it be a blessing and encouragement to your children, Lord. And pray you just give me the words to speak and to say what would be true and right and pleasing to you and be a help to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at this scripture here in Mark 4, which is also found Matthew 13 and Luke 8. But I picked this one to read from. Mark 4, verse 1, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So the setting is he's going to be in that ship there, and that preaching to the people on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, and sprang up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So there's a great key in this parable. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? So there's something about this parable that if you understand it, it'll open a lot of things to you. The sower soweth the word. Now he's talking to his disciples. I skipped one little section there, but in this he's talking more intimately to his disciples. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh and immediately taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So there's four groups. Bear that in mind. Which one of these four are you? There's four groups here. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure, but for a time, afterward when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The devil despises you. If you take on the word of God, he hates your guts. All of hell is against this revelation. He is adamantly opposed to you. If you take on the word of God, know that he's going to be against you and that afflictions and trials are going to come. He is a raging lion. And you'll find, as you meditate on these little trials and think about the things that have happened, it's no coincidence that you find them reflected in the Bible, because that same living word that was alive in those Bible days is still alive today, but in you. And so it will produce those same trials in you, and you'll find yourself in a Mark 4 trial where the disciples were in that ship, I think towards the end of Mark 4. And they were being tossed about by the waves, and Jesus was asleep on the back of the ship. Gabby and I walked through that trial when I was born. I fulfilled that. What the disciples did, I did. I walked out of the hospital that day, Saturday night, going to the Bible study with Gabby. And as I walked out the door, there was a young lady carrying home her newborn baby, born at the same time as Iva, this healthy baby going home. And she might not even be a Christian. And here I am serving the Lord, going to church, to a Bible study. My baby's dying in the basement. May not even be alive when I get back. And I said, Lord, where are you? I looked up and I remember saying, Lord, where are you at? She's dying. And here you are. And we're going to serve you no matter what. Lord, we're not stopping. We're not going to quit serving you, come what may. But there's my baby dying in the hospital. And I was so foolish to ask that question because he was there, but he was asleep on the ship. So he was there and he was working the entire time. But I fulfilled what the disciples did. They said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? I said, Lord, carest thou not my baby's dying? So you find yourself walking right in the midst of these trials just because of the sake of the word. So you take on the word, it's going to come. There's trials going to come. Will you endure? He that endures to the end will be saved, the Bible says. And then here's, I think this is the third group. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So you're juggling all these things in life, and we all are busy, we all have things to juggle, and maybe getting sidetracked with trying to accumulate wealth and accumulate things, stuff that you won't take with you, so it doesn't really amount to a whole lot. But we get so busy and so distracted with all those things, don't forget the word of God. Don't forget to set aside that time of quiet and peace and just with you and the Lord. Meditate on the word of God. Don't be choked. Don't let the word of God choke away all those, those things choke away the word of God from you. Just a little side note on that from Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Brother Banner said, why do you hunger, church? Why do you thirst? Is the Father trying to reveal this hidden secret to you, but you let so many things get it out of you? You let your job, your wife, your husband, you let your children, the cares of this world, you let some pastor, you let somebody else get that out of you when you know that way down in your heart, you're thirsting and hungry. It's God trying to reveal it to you. See the revelation, the last day is here, notice. So God's trying and he's willing, but he's just wanting us to just be still and listen and wait and be patient. This is the fourth group now. This is the group we want to be. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'm going to go ahead and get to that key, what I believe in this. There's one of the other accounts in one of the other Gospels, I think it's in Matthew, where he points to this being understanding. You hear the word and receive it and understand it. Well, you might say, well, Ryan, I don't understand. I give up. Think about other natural things in life. If you don't understand anything, math, well, you need to read the math book, don't you? You got to study a little bit to pass math class. You don't understand any subject in school, well, you might need to get a tutor. It's not just going to come automatically. And why would the Word of God be any different? If you don't understand Daniel's 70 weeks, have you read the book? Or if you've already read it, well, why not just keep on reading it until you understand? I don't understand a whole lot as much as I'd like to about the seals. So Gavin and I, every day, we're still listening to the seals. Brother Dale preached in 1982 and 83. We listen every day and talk about what he said. Every segment of that sermon, we go back and we talk about it. And we're trying and praying for understanding. Anything you don't understand, any of these mysteries of God that have been made real in our day and revealed, if you don't understand them, they're there. They're open. They're ready. You just got to make yourself available. Make an effort, you know. Study and pray. The thing you don't understand, get on your knees and say, God, help me understand that. It's not just going to fall into you just because you're alive in this age. You know, it's not by just default just because you're here. So there's a key there, hearing and receiving the word of God and planting it down in good ground. So the Son of Man here, I did my best to get some pictures, recent photos of our ministers there. They're in there somewhere and all that collage of photos you can find in our ministers and some other ministers there. The point is, the Son of Man today is sowing the seed through our ministers, through our fivefold ministry. He's here sowing the Word of God down, but are we bringing the right kind of ground to receive it? That's my whole point of this lesson. Prepare your ground to receive the Word of God. What kind of ground are you? There's good soil and there's bad soil. Are you that real good, moist, soil full of nutrients and things, or are you that dry, hard, stony soil where the Word can't really get sown down and get rooted good? So how do you make your ground good to receive the seed word of God? It's a question worth thinking about for a while. How do you make your ground good to receive the word of God? Think about it. Just meditate for a moment on that. Form good habits of reading the Bible and praying and meditating on the word of God. It's one thing I believe in life is forming good habits, you know, and with so many things, I could go into that for a while, but just suffice it to say, forming good habits every day of keeping the Word of God open before you, having all these channels open between you and the Lord, anything and everything you can do to make yourself available to God, that's preparing your ground, that's making yourself available, making that ground good. Give God time to reveal it, because that takes time. You might study and pray on something for a while, but then just let it sit for a while. You know, you've sown down the Word of God of that thing, whatever that subject is, that mystery you're trying to understand. You just wait a little while and let God put a man in the pulpit to open it to you or bring it in His time. Don't neglect your daily bread, the Word of God. Again, as I said, baby steps. I wrote down here, baby steps. Everything God does is a slow process. It's not nothing, no quick. Get rich quick scheme here. This is a slow process, like Brother Wade says, a crock pot, not a microwave religion. We believe in the crock pot, slow cooker. This is quite a few slides on this quote. I guess I might just read the highlighted portion for the sake of time. But works is faith expressed, Brother Branham said. It's got to be revealed to you. Then you see who Jesus Christ is. Now here, predestinated plan is in view, plain view. Just as other seed, the Word of God is a seed and must have the ground prepared beforehand. If you sow seed, if you sowed it, just throw it out there on the ground, it would do no good. The birds would pick it up. You throw it among thistles and thorns, it'll choke it out pretty soon. Jesus' parable said so. So the ground has to be made ready first. So God in sovereign grace prepares the heart first. He prepared you before the foundation of the world to receive Him in this age. He foreknew you by His foreknowledge, and ordained you to eternal life. The Bible says all He's justified, He's already glorified. So He knew you, therefore He prepared you. That's the reason you staggered out of these things, and what you have now is God leading you to a place where He's ordained you to be. It's the ground. If the ground isn't prepared before it, it can't grow. That's the reason the seed of faith, when you're preaching faith, see the discernment of the Lord, see what takes place, all the gifts of the Bible working, people work themselves up. I think in one place, Brother Bannon said, in a typical service, you can basically see all four of these groups kind of manifesting. Different people interacting different ways with the Word of God as it comes forth. And all of them taking it in different ways based on their ground, really, that's prepared, whether their ground is prepared or not. Like my little eagle last night, he knew when he heard the scream of that mother eagle, if there's not a lot of difference between that and the cluck of the hen, because see, he was, there's a lot of difference between that, because he was an eagle from the egg. He wasn't made an eagle right then. He's always was an eagle. And as a Christian always was, that's the reason divorce when you divorce, because you were trapped into it. Your first parents, Adam and Eve, you became a sinner by nature. You didn't want to be, but now you heard the gospel and faith comes by hearing, revelation comes by hearing, this little something inside of you. Another man sitting right beside you say, I don't believe that stuff is nonsense. I don't believe that. Nothing to that. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. See, here's those different groups right there on the day of Pentecost. Different reactions to the same word that was being preached, the same event taking place. They said, these men are full of new wine. They know it was. It was a great thing to those it was happening to. Why? It was God revealing Himself to the individuals, not groups. Individuals. While others laughed, these were rejoicing. It was an individual revelation, which is faith, faith that's revealed. If it wasn't revealed, if it wasn't faith, they wouldn't even be there. It was faith. Just seeds has to have the ground prepared first. That's our key here, what we're talking about today. Therefore, all He foreknew, He called, and all He called, He predestinated. If you want to read that, Romans 8, also Ephesians 1, skip on down to that other highlighted part. We see the message is rejected today. Isn't that just what the Scripture said they would do? Sure, all of these things are ordained of God. It should make you walk happy. That's the trouble with us today. So much difference with the old Christians to the new. You know, Brother Aaron, the other Wednesday night, he was preaching on the divine order. He was talking about once you get into that divine order of God, there's really no more worry. You're walking day by day, faith to faith, revelation to revelation. Even from the very beginning, as a very young Christian, if you just keep walking in that and don't stop. Every time I see a new Christian come into the fold, sometimes at work I'll see somebody and they'll tell me they gave their heart to the Lord. I said, awesome, now don't stop. just don't stop. That's all I'm saying. God will bring you where you need to be. I don't sit there and tell them about the revelation of seven seals and seven thunders and deep things. I just say, just keep going. Just don't stop. Because so many I've seen along my journey that just quit. You go a little ways and then you quit, you know, and just don't stop. Keep coming to church, keep reading the Bible, keep praying. So think about your life today. We're going to get on down to, let's go ahead and read, let's see, next slide. We'll get into the book of Joshua here in a moment. Works as faith expressed. Any seed has to have its ground, of course. Therefore, all he foreknew, he's already knew what's going to happen. Jesus said again about the seeds, some fell on rocks, others on mixed ground, with thorns and thistles and everything else it couldn't grow, and others on good ground, good soil, which had been prepared, already prepared. All the man out here is like a chicken looking, trying to find, it hits into this and then into that, but after a while there comes a sudden scream from heaven. He recognizes it right quick. That's the word of God. He knows it because there's something in his heart that's been told him, been revealed to him, or about it. Now, we're going to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 23. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. So now, as we're reading this, think about your journey in life today. Think about all the things that try to deter you and try to distract you, false doctrine and temptation and trials and all these things that try to rob from you that seed of God that's trying to be planted in you, that word of God that's trying to come. Think about that. We read this in Joshua, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, say maybe false doctrines, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as you have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. So there again, getting the divine order, keep following God. He'll fight your battles for you. Just keep on going. One man of you shall chase a thousand. He'll do things that you could never possibly do in yourself. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heed therefore unto yourselves that you love the Lord your God. There again, a key in all these lessons. I'm talking about love lessons. Fall in love with the Lord first. That is so key. And else, if you do anywise go back and cleave to the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them and go into them and they into you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Think of the good land as being the new birth, the kingdom of God. But for today's lesson, you can also think about it as being your own good ground that you're preparing for the Lord. And you want to fight off all these things that maybe try to stop you in your effort, you know, and making your ground good. And our Joshua today, of course, is the Holy Ghost. So Brother Wade was preaching here recently, a couple Sundays ago, I think, about come out of her, my people, in the book of Revelation. So bear that in mind, too, as we come upon this verse here. And behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. And you know in your hearts and all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all the evil things until he destroys you from off this good land which the Lord God hath given you. It really pays heed that it's really important that we should come out of our own false doctrines, our own ideas, because it's so, so rampant. It's not just the Catholic Church we're worried about, or denominational churches. It's us and our own self, even in the message. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the land which the Lord God has given unto you. Spoken word is original seed. I'll just start from the top. That's exactly the way Christ has to get him a bride now. He's found the so-called group pregnated. He's going to sow his seed. He's going to do it one way or another. Somebody's going to get it, because they're predestinated to be the church at the end of the road. There's going to be a group here, no matter what. We decide. You say, well, Ryan, it depends on if I'm predestined or not. Well, predestination, again, looks back to God's foreknowledge of your choice. So your choice today has a lot to do with that. Then, like Adam and Jehovah's, who found them impregnated with man-made doctrines of denominations, like God's truth in Genesis 1, every seed has brought forth after its kind. So when the Spirit fell on her, man had been there to her womb and filled it with denominational seed of his own thinking. That's why she got to be that way she is. Christ couldn't come into her. Okay. Think about, I believe this was Solomon in Proverbs 30. Said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So again, thinking about that good ground. Preparing ground to receive the word of God. So he went by the field of the slothful. If you're going to grow a natural crop, you really can't be slothful. You've got to work it. You've got to plant it. You've got to sow it. You've got to water it and make sure it has the correct amount of light. Make sure it's in good soil, has the nutrients and all that kind of thing. It takes a lot of effort, you know. So you can't be slothful and do that. So here's what happens as Solomon beheld. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. So all your fortress is broken down. All these false doctrines and things can come in and take that word of God that was sown down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. So we have to be diligent. So don't let our field, our walls be broken down, and just keep on serving the Lord and seeking him. Be diligent about it. It's in my desire that I should chastise them. This is Hosea 10. And the people shall be gathered against them, and when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows, and Ephraim was as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over her fair neck, and I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Maybe the ground's been left sitting for a while, you know, and you need to stir it up and get the nutrients and everything good and ready to receive seed. For it's time to seek the Lord. He's talking about preparing ground as in seeking the Lord here. Until he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's God's part. He does that. We just prepare the ground. Ye have plowed wickedness. Ye have reaped iniquity. Ye have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men. So it's not in anything good that we can do or any of our strength. You know, it's all in God, but yet we have this part that we prepare our ground, make ourselves ready. We do it every service we come here. We should be coming ready and with our ground open. Just closing up, I guess, last few more slides here, running out of time. So we all live in the sowing and reaping. The whole universe is really based on cause and effect, sowing and reaping. You know, and you reap what you sow. We all know that. And we can look at examples in the Bible of Adam and Eve. And in this case, I'm referring to sowing as, you know, choices you make, and you reap from your choices. You know, your choice of, do you prepare your ground or not? Do you come with an open heart to receive the word of God or not? Cain and Abel is another good example, making choices. This was actually taken from one of my later lessons. I just wanted to apply this here. Benefits of reading the Bible every day. First of all, it brings you to the new birth, gives you faith, revelation. It takes away your unbelief, teaches you to love God and others. The living word of God, it lives in you and through you. As I gave in that earlier example, it actually is a living word. And as you take it on, you'll see it live through you. Even through those trials that come, gives you joy, peace, contentment. It helps you in your marriage and other relationships. Gives you stability because there's not any anywhere else. There's not any stability anywhere else. So, in 1 Peter 1, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. You must read the Bible. Okay, let's see, I guess a couple more slides here. John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So God's willing, again, for us to bear fruit and take on this seed and let him, over time, grow this fruit. And we bear it unto God. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Here we are again with, well, saying, I don't have understanding about certain mysteries. The musicians, y'all can go and make your way up here. I don't understand the mysteries of God. Well, ask God. That giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. There again, I'm talking about stability. Is unstable in all his ways. So ask God for wisdom and understanding, revelation of the word as you read it. He absolutely will help you understand if you make an effort. Reading his word will give you stability both spiritually and in your life choices. Let's go and close that off there. I'll save the rest of them for next time. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah,